Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the ServiceNow Insights podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Brill. So welcome to episode 3 on process mining and process intelligence. And so we've laid the foundation. We have talked about the history of it. And today we're going to get into the old nitty-gritty, what it actually looks like to run this with AI in the mix. And keep close attention. The answer to the quiz question at the end is don't automate the chaos. And so joining me are two great guests from ServiceNow. I'm going to have them introduce themselves. First up, I want to welcome Damien. Tell us about yourself and your role here at ServiceNow.
Damien Pascal. I am an outbound product manager supporting process mining with ServiceNow.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rosamund Parpia. I go by Roz. I'm also a outbound product manager.
Roz, I want to start with you, and I want to go into the phrase that we're going to name this whole episode. Don't automate the chaos. Where does that come from and what does that mean?
So it means agents are extraordinary and they're going to land in every organization in the next 2 years. But an agent is just an accelerator. It doesn't fix a broken process. It runs the process faster. But if the underlying workflow is full of rework, handoffs between assignment group or approvals getting skipped, then you're just pointing your AI agent to a process that's broken and you're not solving anything. You just industrialize the mess, you just scale the chaos.
That's what it comes down to. We need to make sure the quality is better and we need to check that the quality is good, right? So the output of those agents are in fact providing value. So we don't have to move the problem downstream so we have to clean up that mess later on.
So, Roz, is the answer here to watch for warning signs or to look at the process first?
So, see first, then automate second. And the most important part that people miss out is keep watching after you've automated. Because the agent is now a part of the process, it's a participant. So, you need to keep an eye on it just like you'd keep an eye on any other team member.
We've touched on process intelligence briefly in the last episode. So, Damien, process mining and process intelligence, what's actually changed?
So it's a great point because I keep getting this question all the time. Is that a new product? No, it's really more of an evolution and more expansive conversation because process mining on its own is one capability. It looks at the event logs, how things actually progress and how we can reconstruct how a process actually works. That's great, that's important. Process intelligence is a bigger picture. Now, process mining plus task mining plus automation gives us the entire closed loop. It's three layers look, as one, right? Because process mining is one aspect, task mining is another, and the outcome is the automation.
I think the term process intelligence matters a lot because when customers are buying process mining, they often see it as a diagnostic tool. Like you ran it, you got a report, and then you handed it off to someone else to act on it. Now, process intelligence reframes that conversation. It's not a report. It's a continuous improvement capability that would really connect the insights to action.
Roz, what does that shift actually mean for how customers use this? And Damien, break down the three layers for someone who's never touched process mining before.
Process mining, you can consider it to be the system view, right? What the platform actually records getting done and how much time it took to get done throughout its entire life cycle. Right? So that's great. I need to know that. Task mining is the other side of the same coin, as I would say, the human view. What are people actually doing to get that work in progress done or any specific step? And automation is what you do about it once you understand both. I need the context of both elements to know what and how I should automate something.
So Roz, that brings, of course, the next question, the linchpin to this. And that's a question mark if the linchpin to this is AI.
Yes, AI sits across all three. So AI makes process mining better. because it can now also read unstructured data. So can you imagine reading millions of work notes or short descriptions on your tickets? It was humanly impossible, but AI makes it possible for us. It also makes task mining better in many ways without having to write rigid rules. So AI makes automation better, it makes process and task mining better, and most importantly, the AI agents themselves are a part of the workflow that process mining often analyzes.
So is this really where AI is doing the work and then also auditing the work? Is that correct?
Just like humans and workflows, AI agents need, you know, to be able to be inspected as well. Process intelligence is absolutely recursive capability where we need to keep those AI agents, make sure they're on guide rails too. We need to know and understand their quality, their velocity is what we expect of them.
So what are most organizations missing right now? What should they actually be paying attention to?
The most important thing to understand is that it's a recursive exercise. So AI is in the process. AI is watching the process. So AI is both a participant in the workflow and the thing that is being analyzed at the same time. So that's why I think for me, the whole point is this recursion, where it's important to have AI as an auditor, but also look at what AI is doing so that we can improve on the AI implementations as well.
Is there a visibility gap here, a blind spot that most people aren't seeing?
Yes, the gap is visibility. So almost every customer that I talk to has deployed at least one AI agent in the last 12 months. But very few of them can answer a basic question. Is it actually working? Did the metric you cared about the most, did the KPI you were wanting to improve on, like mean time to resolve or average response time, did it improve really? Or did AI break something else? And it's very hard to get them to answer that question.
Damien, can you give me a real example of what that looks like?
I see this a lot with customers using customer case, right? They measure things like customer satisfaction, right? So you deploy an agent that handles the drafts for initial responses to a customer request or case or inquiry, right? They really want to make sure that they have a hypothesis that we respond to these requests quickly enough, our customer case resolution times will come down. Fantastic. So we deploy an agent to handle that response time. We can do it in seconds now. Fantastic. Throughput is up. We're handling these cases quicker. What we don't see is that metric is the same cases that have a much higher reopen rate, right? So the quality of those responses are not good. The customers wrote back like, hey, that didn't answer my question, right? So now we've moved the problem downstream where another human has to pick up that case that we did not resolve up front with the quality that we needed.
To get better at it, it should be like auditing on the agent the same way it's an audit on any other participant in the workflow. The AI agent should also be audited. It shouldn't just get a pass just because it's AI.
So it's AI, so it doesn't get a free pass. Damien, walk us into the framework you use to think about this.
I would say that AI agents even more need further, more inspection. Why? Because the scale and velocity that we're going to interact with them and leverage them is even greater. There's four steps here. Find, understand, improve, and streamline, right? So the find is simple. It's discovery. It's what we do in process mining as well as task mining. Understand how your workflow is actually working. Is it messy? And I don't care what workflow it is. It could be incidents, employee onboarding, customer cases, security instances. It really is relevant, right? It surfaces the patterns you care about. And I've worked with enough customers, sometimes they find things they had no idea was even happening. Friction points they had a guess about, but they had no idea that these 12 other ones even existed. That's really the first step, right? You can't fix what you don't know. And understanding, to me, the worst case is this. Building a fix for something I have a hypothesis on that's not backed in data and spending all that time and energy and releasing something that has no business impact.
I just wanted to add to that that the find step in this framework is very different from what it was 5 years ago, because we are no longer just sitting there staring at the process map. We have now these improvement opportunities that are the pattern detectors that are nudging you to improve on specific areas. So it's kind of giving you a list of process anomalies where you could go and right away spot the problem and improve on. This wasn't there a few years ago. It was more like you looking at a process map and clicking here, clicking there, and deep diving yourself to arrive at the process anomalies.
So we found it, but where does improvement actually come in?
KPIs I care about, or things that are important to me as a process owner that may lead to pillar KPIs as an organization, whether it be customer sat, ESAT, whatever it may be, right? Those are the things that I want to understand that impact to what I just found to that. And how do we actually streamline during that understand phase is like, okay, now that I understand, I figured out where that problem is. What do I do next? Like, how do I figure out the causality of it, right? Because I need the context of the problem so I can take an effective approach to the improvement, right? So using things like all the great unstructured data that lives in work, right? The work notes, the short description, the descriptions, the approval notes, the approval, information, all that great context. Guess what? We can leverage it because that context tells me that, okay, it's taking too long to assess a piece of work. I bet you there's great information there in the work notes that we can leverage to see, oh, we didn't have the right information, right? 90% of the time we're missing X, Y, and Z. Well, guess what? Now I know exactly what I need to improve.
Roz, this is the part that I know you're passionate about. Where does AI actually come into streamlining?
The main question one should ask is, how do I find jobs for the AI agents? Like, how do I find my agentic AI use cases? And a very practical version of that question is, what is a good fit for an agent versus a deterministic workflow? And one example that we give to most of our customers is you isolate the transitions on your process map where work is consistently taking more than 2 minutes, meaning it's not already automated, and it's taking less than 15 minutes. So that's the low enough effort to be a clean automation candidate. And a bulk of that volume which you could automate using agentic AI is between 3 and 9 minutes band. That is the sweet spot. And a lot of our customers are using process mining outputs like I narrated in this one example to find the correct use cases for agentic AI and not just shooting in the dark and automating anything that's out there.
So that's the sweet spot. But the temptation is the bigger, messier use cases, right? I mean, Damien, what do you do with those?
What we find, to what Roz mentioned earlier, we find the most value is like, okay, how many of these workflows could be shifted left? Which ones can we actually automate with an AI agent? The ones that are taking a short amount of time, or ones that are what we call, like to call the happy path, right? The ones that are simple. Now, the ones that are really complex, also a great use case for things like playbooks, which, by the way, can also use AI agents.
Do these four steps have to happen in order, or can you jump around? Roz, what's your take on that?
No, the order matters enormously because it's a find the use cases first. And then just like, Damien mentioned, you find, you then improve and streamline. It's like a orderly flow. And the reason why that is customers who skip and they jump to streamline first, they go straight to the tasks that they could automate. And they are possibly then automating the chaos because they did not look at the process first. They did not go to the find phase, the discovery phase first, understand it, and then improve and streamline.
Now, you've touched on task mining, the human side of all this. What does it actually add on top of process mining?
What task mining tells you is what the human did in between. So there's a lot of in-between going on. So for example, someone copy-pasted from a CRM onto a spreadsheet. than someone's toggling between three browser tabs to gather information they need to complete a task, or someone's just messaging a colleague to ask a question on Teams because the answer is not there in any of the systems. Now, none of that interaction shows up on a process map, and that's why task mining becomes more essential in that way.
So it's the actual work that's being done, not just what the system logs. Damien, is that correct?
I've seen lots of customers where they look at the process map, it's like, well, this looks pretty good, but hold on. The work in progress is taking 6 hours. What are they doing there? Or the assessment or the approval? There's some piece of work that looks pretty good, but the velocity may not be there what they expect. So what are they actually doing there, right? This is where task mining helps expose, you know, that friction point that lives there.
Roz, give me a more concrete example, something that we can follow along with.
Process mining has this approval for, a procurement, for example. And process mining will show you, hey, you know what? Your procurement request has taken 4 days to complete end to end. That's the system view. Now, task mining will show you that within those 4 days, the approver spent 45 minutes across multiple sessions toggling between the four different systems to gather context before clicking that approve button. So effectively running a manual investigation every single time the approver had to click the approve button. Now, this is invisible in process mining, and it's a perfect candidate even for agentic AI, and task mining exposes that bit to you for a possible agentic use case.
You're not automating the approval. You're getting all the steps that, Roz took to actually get that approval done. She went to four different systems. She asked Damien, hey, can you give me this information in Teams, right? All those different steps that it took to get that approval completed. Guess what? Well, now we know the steps, we can create the agent.
So all of this brings us up to the idea of a closed loop. Damien, walk us through that idea.
There are six steps. You got to identify the problem, build the change, workflow the tweak, the agent, the rule, whatever it is, right? Then you deploy it. Fantastic. Then we need to make sure that improvement, that change we put in place, did it have the improvement we expected, right? We want to detect what impact it had. Then we need to go back and tweak it perhaps and repeat, right? That's the reason we call it closed loop. This should be a repetitive process. We all know this. What we build today may not represent what we need 6 months from now or 3 months from now for lots of different reasons. And as we deploy things, we need to iterate because we want to make sure the impact, but also we want to make sure the impact we built for today is also provides a value 6 months from now or a year from now.
And Roz, what if we skip something?
Yes, don't skip the detect step because, more often than not, we've seen customers identify, they build, they deploy, they celebrate, they move on. They never circle back to detect that the change that I made, did it actually go through the way I wanted it to be? Did it have an impact that I wanted it to have? So that's why circling back and detecting step is very crucial.
And Roz, how do we understand the impact of this?
That's a great question, because if you want to know the impact of your AI agents, I highly recommend you use the compare functionality in ServiceNow Process Mining. What it does is it isolates the work that closed before you deployed the agent, and then it isolates the work that closed after. So you put both the process maps side by side, same workflow, but two different time windows. And the differences jump out. So maybe that a ticket was progressing from resolve to close faster when you deployed an AI agent, but it's going from in progress to resolve much slower. So this is like a revelation. And there might be some other journeys and paths emerging on your process map after you deployed an AI agent. Maybe there is a rework loop that you were trying to fix using AI agent, but the loop never went away. It moved a little bit, but there's still rework happening in the process. So this side-by-side comparison is like your clinical trial result, everything visualized to exactly answer the question. question you just raised, Bobby. What's the impact of my AI agents?
So let's talk about the other side of this, governance.
Yeah, most people find AI control tower a elusive, gigantic concept, but it's not really that. It's very simple. So when you are onboarding an AI agent, you basically need to have some process around it. Like, how will we register this new AI system? How will we onboard this LLM or a specific AI asset? Okay. Now, who's going to review how I'm going to deploy this AI agent? Who will approve for it to go live in production? And who's going to retire it later on? So it's just the simple workflow of how your AI agent assets are going to be rolled out from start to end. And that's what AI Control Tower is really in simple terms, right? And the most important part is that these AI Control Tower workflows also generate audit logs, which means you can point process mining to these audit logs and even govern the governance. So you are now watching the workflows of AI Control Tower that's meant to be your governance hub in that way. So that's quite interesting to bring all the concepts simply together.
Now, Damien, there's one more layer to this, correct?
We can actually analyze and mine the agents themselves. Right, so every time an AI agent is executed, it also leaves a log, right? It calls a tool, it fetches a knowledge article, it hands it off to another agent or another tool, it returns a response. You know, all those logs are an event stream, which is exactly what process mining consumes, right? So this is great. It allows us to understand how they're operating.
It's kind of like understanding behavior almost. Is that the way to look at it?
Oh, 100%. You know, when the agent's behavior is just another process, right? It becomes especially powerful when you move from a single agent assisting a human in one step to a team of agents handling a use case end to end.
So let me see if I got this right. There's the agent inside the process. There's governance watching the agent, and there's process mining watching the agent's own behavior. Roz, are those the correct three layers?
Yes, these are the three layers that's exactly what we mean by closed loop intelligence, Bobby. So we've come a full circle. So as there are agents that are part of your existing processes, there would be a small part done by agentic AI. Then there is governance, that is the AI control tower, which is about the agentic assets and AI assets that we roll out. And the third layer is when we are looking at the agentic execution logs of these agents and now keeping an eye on them so that we have this full circle of every layer that is observable and every layer that is improvable. And that is kind of a summing up conclusion of what is really closed loop intelligence. This is how it comes together by observing each and every layer around agentic AI.
Yeah, that actually makes the whole picture click. So last question for both of you. Day one. Someone has just deployed their first agent. Roz, what's the first thing they should do?
Great question, Bobby. So the first thing Damien and I would agree and recommend is that you start mining your agentic AI execution logs, okay? So once you start mining those, you can visualize how your agents have been performing and you create a baseline today. And then a quarter down the line, you compare your process map against the baseline and see the before and after comparison side by side. And that will show you whether your agentic implementation was really impactful or not in the way you wanted it to be.
Before we close, please give us one last thing to sit with.
I would say close the loop, right? So first, fix it, deploy it, and keep watching. And always go in that closed loop. And as we try to have a better version of ourselves every day, we have a better version of our processes over and over.
Damien, same question to you. What's one last thing for us to all think about?
I will say ground all of your AI agents in reality with process intelligence. Right? That's what you need.
So there you have it. Don't automate the chaos. Find it, understand it, improve it, then and only then can you streamline it? We went from the warning to the framework and to what it actually looks like when a team of agents is running inside a process that's being watched at every single layer. The agent, the governance around that agent, and the agent's own behavior. That's the closed loop. I want to thank our guests, Damian Pascal and Roz Parpia. And if you're interested in learning more about process mining, we've got a lot of great links in the show notes. They're going to walk you through it, tell you how to deploy it, and of course, give you some more information on getting it all set up. And of course, you can always head over to servicenow.com/docs for even more information. I'm your host, Bobby Brill. Thanks for listening.